It's an open line Thursday here on the Junks, brought to you by Window Nation. Searching for new windows and doors, perhaps? Search windownation.com. Their windows are measured to fit the first time and installed by experts to last. Window Nation for your home, because it's where you live. Coming up at 8 o'clock, we will answer, or Dave Richard will answer all of your fantasy football questions. So that's coming up in just about 35 minutes, but right now, we're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day, be delicious. Good morning, Baldy. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Good to be with you. Thank you.
Good to have you again.
Hey Baldy, real quick, before we talk about week two, anything really jump out at you after week one?
Well, I mean, if it was... If you were playing flag football against Tampa last week, I don't think the Bucs could have ever ripped the flag off Jaden Daniels. He looked faster than anybody out there. I mean, he was, you know, I mean, we knew he was an athlete. I didn't know that he could run through a defense like that just about any time he wanted to.
Right. And that, but you know that they're getting pushback here saying you can't be, keep doing that.
16 rushes is a lot.
But I'm kind of with you. That was the most exciting part of the game. Like when he, I know I don't want him to take those that abuse, but when he runs, that's when I feel like we got a chance at an explosive play.
Well, I mean, look, I mean, Todd Bowles was, he gave him every blitz he had in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Up until, I mean, there was 2 minutes left in the game and he was still coming after him.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's not many coordinators that are willing to do that. I mean, it's not because it was just a rookie. That's who they are. That's what Todd Bowles does. And he gives a lot of quarterbacks a lot of problems. I mean, they couldn't get, obviously, you know, they couldn't get the ball to the wide receivers, and that was a problem. And yes, you can't run 16 times a game in this business at that position. You're just not going to survive. But, I mean, I didn't see him outside of the one shot by Winfield where his helmet came off and they flagged him. He really didn't take any other hit. So, but regardless, I mean, you know, ultimately, you got to get the ball out of your hands into an open receiver.
Well, the guy on the other side didn't have any problem with that. Baker Mayfield was completely dialed in. It looks like what Liam Cohen is doing as the new OC there in Tampa's working, at least for the first week. He's got a Hall of Famer in Mike Evans. He catches 2 touchdowns. Godwin moves into the slot. He has a really efficient day there. And they've got a really good-looking rookie, too, who caught a touchdown in McMillan. So they've got some really good weapons, and Baker just looks like he's completely locked in there.
Well, they've really made some upgrades to the whole team. I mean, that center, Graham Barton's going to be a great player. He's already a good player. He's going to be a great player. The offensive line has gotten a lot better. That helped. The running game improved a little bit better. I mean, I guess, you know, if you're a Washington Commander fan and you're watching, you're like, okay, they gave up the most touchdown passes in the league last year. They gave up 39. We knew it was leaky and it was bad. But to see Baker throw 4 and on the Jalen McMillan touchdown, there's clearly a misunderstanding there. They're in man coverage. One of the defenders, I don't want to call anybody's name, is a little frozen. And McMillan goes by him, and, you know, mm-hmm. Baker has time, and he makes an easy throw. But that's the biggest concern, is because defensively they were terrible on the back end of their defense last year. And you wonder, did they get much better this year? You could have a different coordinator, a different head coach, but is the talent better on the back end right now?
Do you feel like Daniel Jones, as poorly as he played against the Vikings in week one, can he exploit that secondary in week two as the Giants – come and play the Commanders in week two?
Well, not if he plays like he did last week. You know, he was awful last week, but the whole offense was awful. They didn't take one deep shot. You know, the touchdown to Evans, his first one. I mean, they didn't throw one ball like that the whole day. They didn't even try one. So, I mean, if they play like they did last week, they're not going to exploit it. But I imagine that, you know, week one can be different for every team. Everybody, if you're going to be a competitive team, you're going to fix a lot of things. I always say that September is the new August because nobody plays in preseason. So, I mean, whatever it is that ails you, you better go to the, you better go out to the practice field and start working on it and try to correct it or fix it. And so I'm sure the Giants took a good, long, hard look at what they did and what they didn't do. And I'm sure that they're going to be at least attempting to be a lot better than they were last week.
Did you see anything with Jaden tucking it too quickly? I mean, I get, you certainly in hindsight, you could see some spots where he had guys open. Is that just natural because of Bowles and what he does, or is there a sort of a fatal flaw in his processing that we're seeing already?
That's a good question, and I was kind of thinking the same thing when I was studying it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were some open receivers, but I don't know what, you know, Cliff's progressions are and where he's supposed to be looking. You don't have time to see everything, especially when Todd's got free hitters coming, you know, right at you, and you got to make an instant decision. I guess, you know, what you don't want your quarterback to do is to read the rush, because as soon as Todd Bowles thinks that you're reading the rush, he's never going to stop coming at you. But a lot of guys are going to be like that. I imagine the Giants would do the same thing this week. You know, so that's the danger, is you do take off too quickly. But I don't blame them for a couple of those, because when somebody's coming free at you,
right,
you better be an athlete and get away from that. Otherwise, you're going to take a whole lot of negative plays.
Right. I'm with you. We've been asking everybody, because there's been some stuff written about Kingsbury's offense and how there's not a lot of pre-snap motion, and how he's used, you know, like Hopkins before, like always sort of lining up the same spot. They kind of did the same thing with Terry in week one. Can you give the rationale for why a coordinator might prefer to have very little pre-snap motion? What does he think? I'm sure he has a rationale for it. Can you guess what it is?
Well, my guess is, you know, you're dealing with the quarterback making his first start.
Yeah.
Every time you move in motion, the defense is presumably going to adjust in some way. And so you're seeing a moving picture. And maybe you don't want that. I mean, Brett Favre never liked motion at all because he didn't like that. And now that's a guy that's, you know, in the Hall of Fame. Now, I'm not saying that's the only reason. I've seen Cliff at Texas Tech. I've seen him at Arizona. I've seen plenty of different types of motions. I know we all kind of fall in love with the pre-snap motion thing.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's better than Kyle Shanahan, or nobody's better than Mike McDaniel. That's a system. There's a motion and shift every play. There's a purpose behind it. Just a motion to motion like some teams do, you're not really gaining any advantage, or you're not getting the defense to take their eyes off the prize, you know, in good window dressing. That doesn't really do anybody any good. But I guess you would ask Cliff this if I was around mm-hmm. him. I mean, do you limit the amount of that just so that the quarterback doesn't have so many things to look at before the snap?
Mm. Talking to Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Since we were talking about Jaden Daniels, what's your assessment of the other two rookie quarterbacks, Caleb Williams and Bo Nix, who, you know, both seemingly struggled?
Well, they more than struggled. I mean, neither was very good. At least, you know, Caleb didn't throw any interceptions, didn't turn the ball over. He wasn't very good, but I didn't think that the game plan in Chicago was. I mean, he had 9 plays where he was in an empty set, spreading the defense out. I don't care if it's Tennessee or who it is. That's, I mean, you're treating him like he's, you know, Patrick Mahomes. I thought that they should have played it a little bit differently. Now, special teams and defense came up with a big plays to win the game. Bo Nix, but he couldn't get the ball to his receiver, Cortland Sutton, at all, and he threw a couple bad throws. They tried to protect him a little bit. He, you know, just like Cliff did with Jaden. I mean, you try to throw as many quick passes to get quick completions. But, you know, the defense is just sitting on those things, and you're gaining 3 yards in those. And so that's what it looked like, you know, to watch Denver. It looked like a 3-yard offense. And honestly, Tennessee should have won that game.
Mm-hmm.
Cale will take they'll take the W for sure. But that they all struggled quite a bit in the game. Just from an accuracy standpoint, when they did have open receivers and where they were putting the ball, it looked like the speed of the game was bothering all the guys on Sunday.
Baldy, were you surprised at how bad the Panthers were in week one? I mean, Dave Canales comes in. People thought he might work wonders with Bryce Young in year two. They add Deontay Johnson to the offense to try to give him a reliable weapon. They added some high-priced offensive linemen. And they were getting bludgeoned 30-3 at the half. They lose 47-10. And it doesn't get any better. The Chargers are coming in to play them week two. And they have to be a decided underdog in that game, too.
It was bad. It was really bad. I mean, you know, Bryce threw an interception in the first play, but honestly, I don't know what Deontay Johnson was doing. I mean, he kind of pulled up on the play. The ball's going to him. I, I, I don't know. I don't know what happened on that play, but they were terrible. All the way around, they tried to upgrade the talent, you know, adding Deontay or two offensive guards. But, I mean, they lost their best player in the game, Derrick Brown. But they got pushed around pretty good up front. This Fuaga at left tackle was something to watch. He looks like the real deal. But it's not going to get any easier. And, you know, and Bryce Young, look, it's not looking good. It's not going well. The Chargers, they got after the Raiders really, really good. I mean, Bosa and Mack, I mean, they turned up the heat pretty good. One thing about, you know, just Harbaugh real quick, you know, that formula goes back to Bo Schembechler. Like, they don't try to be anything that they're not. They're going to play defense. They're going to punt. They're going to kick field goals. And, you know, they're not going to put the ball in harm's way. And they're not going to beat themselves. And that formula wins a lot of games in this league.
Mm-hmm. And Baldy, Joe Alt was awesome. He stoned Max Crosby. It was like Max Crosby wasn't even on the field.
No, I mean, Max, he had a sack. He had five pressures. Like, he got his. He made a lot of plays in the run game. But in the nine times where Joe lined up against Max and had him one-on-one with no help, no chip, no slide, just one-on-one, he played really well. And, you know, Max has to give him his props. You know, some of those are contained rushers. You know, he's got to be on all those kind of things. But Joel, he played very well. And his length is going to bother a lot of pass rushers in this league because his feet move with his hands, and he's just a difficult mountain to get around.
Baldy, another team that sucked, I mean absolutely sucked, the Cincinnati Bengals. So as a show, we entered the Circus Survivor Pool out in Las Vegas, $1,000 entry. And who did we take in week one? The Cincinnati Bengals. And we probably, you know, looking back at it, we probably should have second-guessed ourselves because the Bengals the last 2 years started the season 0-2.
We knew that. We rejected it.
I know. We rejected it.
We thought they were due to get a win.
Yeah, we thought the Bengals going against the Pats with the backup quarterback, essentially a backup quarterback in Brissett, were a good surefire winner, our 9-point fave. They sucked. And now, you know, Burrow's answering questions from the media, the local media, about the wrist. And now they got to go play the Chiefs this weekend in Kansas City. You're going to be there.
Yeah, I'm going to be there on Sunday. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, they play the Chiefs pretty well. I you know, you can look at Cincinnati. Okay, they were, man, the Patriots played great. They had two rookies out there on the offensive line, Caden Wallace and Layden Robinson. They played a lot of third tackles with this, you know, Caden Wallace. They pushed him around pretty good up front. You know, Ramondre Stevenson had a great day. Mm-hmm. Jacoby didn't make a mistake. They made a great play. Kyle Duggar made a great play at the goal line. The Bengals win the game if Tanner Hudson gets that ball across the goal line. He stripped them at the goal line and took a touchdown away. Otherwise, they win the game. They made the plays. This Keon White, maybe this is why they traded Matt Judon away. This Keon White is, you know, he's 6'5", he's 285, he's a legit defensive end. He got a chance to start. Had three sacks in the game. They were really well coached, and they took the air out of the ball. They played the way Belichick used to play. They controlled the line of scrimmage really well. They made a big play on defense, and Joe Burrow didn't get the ball over their head all day. So I kind of credit Gerard Mayo and the Patriots for being really ready to play and going in there and playing a great game.
Real quick before we let you go, getting back to the Commanders, who do you think wins this game?
I think the Commanders are a better team. I think they're a better team. I mean, I don't think they're a great team, but I think they're better. And I think the quarterback's going to give them a lot of problems.
Love it. So that means picking them.
You like Washington. All right.
I like Washington, yeah.
Sounds
nice.
Good.
Nice. Baldy,
talk to me next week. And
we will.
Oh, well, if they're 0-2.
We didn't jinx them.
Yeah.
Remind me of my pick next week.
We will.
This city's going to be in the toilet if they lose to the Giants.
Yeah.
And they're 0-2.
All right, Baldy, okay. Have a good call.
Thank you, buddy.
Kansas City. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
My pleasure, guys. Anytime. You bet.
Yep. That was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast, Insider Calls. They're brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day, be delicious. Bank local, cheer local, and business every day is game day. Business is always moving. up or down, but never still. That's why the Main Street Bank team treats every day like game day. Main Street Bank is a business-focused community bank proudly serving the DMV since 2004. That's 20 years. Visit mstreetbank.com to learn how to put our team in your office. Main Street Bank, member FDIC, equal housing opportunity lender.